express yourself.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everyone. This is October 5th, and it's another edition of Talkline. And I'm Diane McGachran. With me is...
And I'm Peter Etchett. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. And you know, I've been out for 3 weeks, and I'm back. I'm chock full. So you guys, whatever you want to call and talk about, I am prepped for. Yeah. Peter, you were out a couple of times too, weren't you?
I was out a couple of times, yes.
Yeah. So Peter and I are reunited, and we're back on track. So mm-hmm. We welcome all of your calls. And right now, we also have Kirsten Hall, who is here helping us fundraise. This is a fundraising season, and she's going to tell more about how you can contribute to KYUK.
Express yourself.
Oh, I guess Grady. Okay, we have Grady at the board.
Okay,
we're on. So, Kristen, go ahead. Yeah.
Good morning, folks.
You might have to be a little closer to the mic.
Oh, I don't hear anything. You?
No. Go ahead and talk so we can get your mic check.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know what?
Awesome. Oh, there you go. Oh, now you're on. Okay. Wow. It's just, you know what? When you've been gone for a couple weeks, it takes a little rusty. Getting things back in the flow.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. It is great to be on the air. Great to be back in Bethel.
Okay. Yes.
And great to feel all of the support we've been getting from our listeners. A huge thank you going out to everyone that's made a pledge this morning. Mary LaRue, Angeline Whitman, Janelle Carl. Thank you for making your pledge of support. You know, I know when you make that pledge, you do it because you love KYUK. You want to make sure that we remain a strong resource for the YK Delta. And, you know, we're proud of this show, Talkline. We're proud of the news that we deliver. We're proud of our daily weather updates, our public affairs mm-hmm. shows. And none of it is possible without listener support. So thank you so much if you have made a pledge mm-hmm. so far during this drive. We truly appreciate it. Thank you for being a part of the family, a part of the team that makes it all happen. Mm-hmm. And you can be a part of that team just by making a pledge of support. And today, until 12 p.m. noon, if you make a $5 pledge, we'll enter your name into a drawing to win 20 pounds of produce from Myers Farm.
Myers Organic Farm.
Yes, and this is a beautiful box of produce. We've got strawberries, kale, carrots,
tomatoes,
turnips. I mean,
potatoes.
It's awesome. Yeah. And if you don't come pick it up, I might just eat the entire thing myself.
Well, that yes, we will be splitting up the strawberries.
Just kidding.
No, someone's going to win it at 12. The drawing's at 12.
That's right. The drawing is during the 12 o'clock hour. It'll come in after the local news. You know, we'll come on and announce the winner. But you have to make your pledge before 12 p.m.
Okay,
noon.
So tell people how they can pledge, and
that's
then we have
right.
a caller.
Awesome.
So
okay, let's get it rolling. You can make a pledge at 543-3131 or go online at kyuk.org. A $5 pledge will get your name into that drawing. And, you know, I know you pledge because you love the programming, so let's get to it. Let's get the show started.
Yes. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank
so
you.
We'll be announcing periodically mm-hmm. through the show how you can donate. But right now, we're going to go ahead to John Nick. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talkline.
Oh, thank you, Dan. Welcome home, away from home.
I was in Arizona.
Hey, Peter, you too. Welcome back.
Yay. Good morning, John.
Anyway, I'd like to thank all the voters who came out to vote this last voting procedure we had. I didn't like the outcome of the liquor issue, but people voiced their opinion, so I can voice my opinion against it. And, you know, it's the people's wishes. Somebody brought up a good informational idea to me that before the process went through. Mm-hmm. He mentioned that when they have liquor issues like this coming up, when you have a liquor store opening up like that, he said maybe it should be designated for Bethel residents only who can buy liquor at that liquor store. That way that'll disinvolve the villages, yet we have villagers coming in. Anybody can buy booze, and a lot of bad talk is about Bethel because we're selling the liquor to the people. And we don't have no discrepancies of where they're from. Yet we have all these people blaming Bethel all the time for needless things that don't occur that they should involve within their own business. You know, we get a lot of blame for this, and that's bum. I'm from here in Bethel. I'm part of where I was born here. There's always been liquor here ever since I was brought up, you know. And people tend to lay the blame game all the time. And I've even heard some people come over from the villages want to go drink, and yet they're only 5 miles from the home. They say they're homeless because of their addiction. I mean, that's how redolent, that's how easy it is to point the finger at people, you know. If a village want to drink, they should open their own liquor store. I mean, that way you don't have to blame nobody but yourselves. I know I might be sound discriminatory towards the villages. I love the villages. My parents and everybody was brought up in the village. Except for myself, I was born premature, so I had to stay here. But other than that, I made sure I went to the village for all the festivity, berry pickings, subsistence living, and all of that, you know. Don't say I have no disrespect for them. I do respect them a lot, and I want that clarified also.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's be real about this. And if villagers are having problems, they should look up the people who are having the problem, who are getting the problem, try to help them instead of looking, batting the other eye away and saying, well, that's his problem. Mm-hmm. It's everybody's problem. We all should associate that. Now that the liquor store is open, they should, they'll probably put funding into the alcohol rehab center. We need to have a service patrol again so that they can pick up inebriates and bring them to a proper place to sleep other than sleeping on the streets and dying. You know, that's going to be... Watch. We'll see what happens now. We'll see the uprising tragedies. I know we will. And other, you know, things that shouldn't be. But that's the way it is, you know. We can't change it now. All I can do is take care of yourselves and, you know, continue to live. Don't be drinking and driving, doing dumb things like that and losing life or other lives. You know, let's be responsible.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Anyway, that's all I have to say. Thank you very much for listening to my word. And everybody, please don't drink and drive and wear your life jacket. And if you're going on long distance trips, if you'd be nice to have somebody with you. Another boat in case something happens.
Yes.
You know, they're saying that blink of an eye, you never know what might happen. Mm-hmm. It's good to watch over each other. And when you're out there still hunting or subsistence fishing, please take your trash home and put it in a proper place.
All right.
Okay, everyone, have a safe weekend. Thank you, Dan. Welcome back again.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Okay.
Thanks, John. Yes, those are some good words. Yes.
Yeah, so
powerful.
We had the results from the election. I don't know... because we did not vote for, I think we voted down local option, I don't think you can make policies like he was suggesting. Like you can't say to someone, you can buy alcohol, but you can't. I don't think that's allowed.
Yeah.
If we had control, if the city controlled it, yes, you can make those kind of policies, but that's not what we voted for.
So.
Okay, well, we're going to give out the numbers here.
Yes.
And you can also email us.
This is your talk line. You can call in, you know, with whatever's on your mind today. We welcome all calls today. And the numbers you can call to be a part of our talk line show this morning are 543-KYUK. That's 543-5985, 543-2756, another 800-995-8954. Or you can email radio@kyuk.org. And of course, you could call in or email anonymously if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
But like Akub John Active used to say that even if you're anonymous, I know who you are.
Well, yes, we might recognize your voice, but we won't say your name.
That's right. We'll keep it like that.
Yes. So now I was down in Arizona for a little more than a week. And
We have an anonymous caller, so I'll say a little bit about my Arizona trip
okay. As
we go through the show when we have some downtime. But right now we have an anonymous caller. Welcome to the show, anonymous.
Welcome.
Hello. You're
good
on
morning.
The air.
Hi.
Hi. You're going to have to turn down your radio, okay? So we can
okay.
hear you better.
Let me turn off the TV.
Or turn off the TV. Whatever. Something's in the background.
But anyways, my name is Anonymous. I'm calling to say hi to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Bessie.
Well, now, if you're anonymous and you say hi to your mom, Bessie, we might guess who you are.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, do you have something on your mind that you want to share?
No, I'm just calling.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
Bye. All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, you know, she sent a greeting to her mom. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Yeah, but, you know, what a beautiful looking day
out there. I know.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I do that. There's a little show, Igayutut, that KYUK does. And Esther Green tells stories on that show. And if anyone, it plays the first Wednesday of every month at 10:30. And then it's repeated at different times in the month. Like today, it'll be repeated right after this show, I think, from 11:30 to 12. Or it's tonight. I'll get that verification. Mm-hmm. But you can go to KYUK website, and right there on the front is the link to go to the show, and you're welcome to listen to it. This week, Esther and I were kind of talking about our relationship to the environment, and so you might want to hear about that. So we have a caller from Bethel, Howard. Good morning, Howard. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah, good morning. about this vote here yesterday.
Yes, the vote.
Or when was it? I know it's hard, and it's very sad for people that come from a village and they, you know, they went through a whole bunch of stuff, you know. Some people are uncontrollably drinking, and I really feel sorry for them. It just, you know, when does people realize that a choice is a choice by them, not by anybody else? And I really want people to understand that you make that choice, and you can make something good out of this thing. You don't have to be the town inebriate to see this. You could just go out there and do something. And I've seen a lot of people just stop and take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But in Bethel now, I know there's going to be a lot of people coming to, just to drink here, and it's going to hurt other people's feelings. But I really wish people now would just say, hey, we just need a bar where they serve beer and wine. And they have a liquor store that only sells beer and wine, you know? Because look how much better it was when it was just only that one liquor store selling only beer and wine. But we have people that are selling, you know, the hard stuff, and people are missing. And it's very sad that, like I said, you know, it's got to be a choice. And I wish that we would choose just to only sell beer and wine, you know, here in Bethel.
Yeah.
But, I don't know what's going to happen now with these licenses, and is AC's going to have AC quick stops are going to have that liquor store, you know?
I don't know what their plan is. If they're going to, I don't think they're going to reopen at the same place. I'm not sure,
I hope not.
You know, they had shut it down for a reason up there. I don't know exactly what those reasons were.
It's really sad that they sell there in a place like that where there's so many kids that they don't have the playgrounds no more. They don't have the boardwalk to be free and bike around, you know.
Yeah.
I just want to say something about that. I really wish, like, Bethel would vote for only just comment with the city council and tell them that we need just beer and wine.
Mm-hmm.
And but well, I would say thanks for voting. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Howard.
Yeah, Kuyana Howard, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so that there are a couple of questions. If AC is going to reopen where they are they going to reopen somewhere else and sell just beer and wine, or will they be selling a full package store kind of options? I'm not sure about, I don't know anything about that. I haven't heard. So, okay. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of other announcements. Oh, no, we got Rhonda from 4-H. So, good morning, Rhonda. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is fabulous Friday out there this morning.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm calling because October is 4-H month. National 4-H always has 1 week to celebrate 4-H and get people registered. So I wanted to tell everybody about some things that Bethel 4-H is going to be doing this month. First one is that we're still taking applications for our K-6 after-school program, although all the kids that are registering now will be on a waiting list because we are full, which is a fabulous problem to have.
Wow.
And we would like to thank LKSD for making sure that 4-H has a bus stop and that the kids will be able to stop here every day after school, so we really appreciate that they made sure that was in there when getting the new buses.
Wow.
The other thing is that the week of October 22nd is when we're going to have our 4-H week, and we were going to have some celebration of 4-H and registering information for adults to learn how to become leaders and start their own clubs. And October 25th, Thursday, is National Lights On After School Day, where we will be celebrating after school programs. So we will have an event at the 4-H Clubhouse on that Thursday. So more to come, but those are things that we are doing. So if anybody is interested in starting a 4-H club, because not everything has to be done from this building, or if you're interested in having your children of any age, K-12, involved in 4-H, we are still taking applications.
Okay.
They can call 543-2088 if they want some more information.
Okay. What's that? Okay, you got that down.
543-2088. Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Rhonda.
Yes, thank you.
What
have
a great program.
Day.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good.
Okay.
Yes. Good activities for the kids. I know my grandkids like that, you know.
Are they part of it?
Yeah, they go to that place and they always come back with good stories about what they've done.
That's nice. I'm glad it's there. Okay, we have an anonymous caller from Bethel. Good morning, anonymous Bethel caller.
Good morning. How's our liberal?
Well, she's back.
Yeah, I could hear you.
Oh.
Anyway, good morning.
I haven't even said anything today. I have a liberal tone.
Well, yes. at least we know where you stand with everything. That's a good thing. That could be worse.
I try to be clear.
Yeah, that's good. Anyway, make a long story short to answer part of your question.
Yes.
In terms of, if you guys remember, the population of Bethel fell under 6,000, so due to the, according to the Alcohol Control Board, they could only have two package store liquor license. So we have two of them. And unless the population grows or expands, the liquor licenses that are established now are the only ones that can be issued unless they come up for a vote in front of the Alcohol Control Board.
So the two are AC and BNC?
No, the two are BNC and Cesar, remember?
Oh, yeah, but I thought AC had one.
No, AC, you know, remember they got shut down?
Oh, I thought now with our vote they get to re-up that. Okay, I didn't know that.
No.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the Alcohol Control Board said the population of Bethel is under 6,000 now.
Yeah, yeah. I remember
Therefore, due to the population of Bethel, only two package store liquor licenses can be issued, and there's two of them that are issued. You've got BNC, which is going to transfer over to C-Line, depending on the outcome of the hearing they have with the Alcohol Control Board. And then Cesari got his liquor license, and he was waiting for the outcome of the October election. And as you can see, people went out and voted, and more people voted than ever before in the past because it's going to affect how they choose to drink socially at home.
Right, yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, we all seem to forget the little things, but, you know, everything adds up after a while. But I agree with Howard Washley when he said that, these people that don't know how to control their drinking just come here and just plaster themselves and then, you know, it's a choice, like Howard said. So, you know, people make choices, but why are we responsible for what other people do? We're not. We're only responsible for ourselves. And again, the city of Bethel had an election. The registered voters went out and vote, and the outcome is as is.
That's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the people spoke, and, that's just how the democracy works. You know, you're a voter. You're eligible to vote in your community, and that's mm-hmm. just the way it went. So, it's just one of those things, unless the city might find ways of trying to control the alcohol, but as you can see, they're afraid to step up and do that because they could get sued.
Yeah.
So, there's always, you have to look at the good side and bad side to everything, but obviously the way things have gone, based upon what took place recently with the package store we had, which was selling all alcohol, not just beer and wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a person's choice.
Mm-hmm.
So what Bethel does affect the rest of the 56 villages, but we're not responsible for what happens in their communities. We're responsible for our community.
Right.
So keep that in mind. That's just, again, it was up to the voters. You know, voters spoke again. So then every time every time the voters get pushed against the wall, they know that option is going to come up. Okay, let's vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
And people spoke again.
Well, if people are upset with the results, they can petition and get it on the ballot for next year. That's allowed, too, on this particular one, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, but, you can push all you want, but when push comes to shove, people are going to do what they got to do to protect their own way of life, and if they choose to drink socially and can afford to get, their choice of drink, that's a good thing. But, we're not responsible for what other people do, and we don't force that jug down their throat.
No.
Mm. All righty, good morning.
All right, okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we have Bethel. We have Martha from Bethel, mm-hmm. not Bethel from Martha. Good morning, Martha.
Hey,
welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I try to stand up for those who don't have a choice. That's children and elderly.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to alcohol, I want to put this out that next time they put out a election words for alcohol or something like that, to put simply yes or no, because English is not our language, and because it's not our language, we get mixed up. I want next time they put out alcohol for voting, just put simply yes or no. Not yes is no, no is yes. That's confusing to people who's not their language. Mm. So to be fair, it should just be yes or no.
So that's yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to speak out for those who don't have choice, the children and the elderly. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you. I'm glad you called, Martha. Yeah. I think she's kind of also touching on that point that sometimes the ballot measures are written in such a way that it's like no means yes, yes means no, or it's a little...
Yes, that can be confusing, yes.
Yeah, so I heard that might have been some confusion for some people on this recent one. So we have Mark Springer. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the four incoming council members, and I would like to express my appreciation to everybody who wrote my name in. I appreciate them taking the effort. I've had a chance to talk to a few of them and with all the people here in the community that I really respect an awful lot. So I take heart in the fact that those folks were willing to spend their vote on me. So I appreciate that an awful lot. It's going to be an interesting year or two with the new makeup of the council. I think there's going to be a definite shift in the way the voting goes on it, you know, in terms of looking at the administration and stuff. I just want to say that I think that the city administration, Pete and Lori and Patty, the attorney, have done a pretty good job for the city. I certainly never had any real big complaints with the job the administration's doing. You know, people complain about the roads, and that the roads that would go really bad are the state roads that the city's got nothing to do with. And I think that we do a pretty good job of taking care of the city roads and getting the water out on time. So I just want to get that out there. Certainly people could disagree with that. And I also want to put in a plug for the KYUK fundraiser. When I was over making my donation in cash yesterday, they said, "Well, do you want to challenge anybody?" And I said, "Not really, but actually, I think that everybody that ran for council and everybody who's on the council should make a good donation to KYUK, because not only does KYUK broadcast the city council meetings for everybody to listen to, and really everybody who enjoys listening to the council meetings ought to throw a few bucks KYUK's way. Certainly the council members and people who ran and people who are going to run, you know, the news department covers things pretty well. So KYUK deserves support. And the coffee cup is really nice this year. If you haven't seen it, go talk to Petra. She'll show it to you, and then she'll hit you up for the cost of it. And you know, the important thing about the fundraiser is that, as they say, KYUK Public Radio is listener supported radio. There's an FM station here in town that kind of competes with KYUK in the mornings, and the broadcaster there keeps calling it government-supported radio, and it's not. It's listener-supported radio. And you know, I mentioned to Kristen yesterday. I said there are people in Bethel who support KYUK with cash money once a week. And given where that money's coming from, I guess maybe I will wait for KYUK to get around whether they can use the word or not. But all of those folks, and I sit out in front of a place in town every night waiting for one of them to get done contributing to KYUK, all of those folks really deserve a lot of appreciation and a lot of credit for the support that they give to KYUK. But it's listener-supported radio. It's not government-supported radio. It's a free public utility. The airwaves belong to the people, and ways gay exercises through his license exercises a trust given to them by the federal government on behalf of the people to use those airways in a responsible manner, and KYU absolutely does. And so I hope they beat the $31,000 or $32,000 goal they've got this year.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet.
And thank you for clarifying how KYUK is supported, because KYUK is supported by listener donations, and the radio station really tries to create itself in a way that fits the Delta and the people here, the things that are of interest, the important news that people rely on. So,
absolutely right.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
So we're going to go to Grant here in Bethel. Good morning, Grant. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So some exciting news. I would say maybe exciting news. So Donlin is owned 50% like by NovaGold and the other 50% by Barrick. Barrick is the biggest gold mining company in the world. Well, they just joined forces with a company called Rheingold to become the biggest in the world. And
even more biggest.
More biggest. And one interesting thing about Rheingold is a guy named Mark Bristow, who's the CEO of the new Barrick Group, the new company that's 50% owner of Donlin, he says, and I'll read this to you, because of stringent investment filters applied by Rheingold, which means that any project demonstrating an internal rate of return below 20% at a gold price of $1,000 per ounce will be automatically rejected. And the author of this thing says, at this time, he believes that the Donald Gold Project could be one of the first victims of the coming merger. One of the new owners of Donlin is already saying that it doesn't pencil out economically to do it.
Oh, my.
And then the other interesting thing is Barrick just got in bed with the Chinese again. They're selling $300 million worth of shares to Shandong Gold, which is a gigantic Chinese gold company. So, you know, 10 years ago, I told people, listen, I believe ultimately Donlin is going to be owned by the Chinese because I don't think these guys can develop it. I mean, if you look at the 50% owner, NovaGold, they don't have $50 million in the bank, and their half of development is $4 billion. So that's pretty interesting that, you know.
When mergers like that happen, do the agreements that that Calista Corporation and the Kuskokwim Corporation have already signed on to, when these mergers happen, those agreements transfer with that? Those are all still in place?
Yeah. I mean, Calista is a subsurface owners. Kuskokwim Corporation is a surface owners. And they've made signed an agreement with Donlin, which is owned 50-50 by these two other companies. So whoever buys the project out, those agreements will go with them. There might be a few changes. But the thing that it's always worried me is that if the Chinese take over this mine ultimately, they don't have a board of directors, they don't have shareholders, so they don't need to make a profit. They just need to get the gold out of the ground and ship it to China and put in their vaults. And the thing that's really worrying is if, for instance, when this EIS came out and the Department of Natural Resources issued a permit for financial assurances for cleanup and mediation, the state is going to allow the mine to have a bond of only like over $300 million, whereas internal paperwork from Donlin says it's going to take $1.4 billion. So the state is allowing this mine to be unfunded for mediation and cleanup to the tune of $900 million. So who's going to be on the hook for that? Well, it's ultimately going to be the landowner, which is Calista, and then the landowner, and if they don't do it, then the state and the feds. And then the worst part is this, if the Chinese take it over, you can probably sue a Canadian mining company in U.S. courts and maybe get something out of it. But it's going to be pretty hard to sue a Chinese company if they walk away from this mine, because if they build the mine and at year four the price of gold goes down and they close the mine, they're going to have to start cleanup, and that money, which was prorated for mediation and cleanup, there's not enough money there. So I've been telling people for a long time, I think this is going to bankrupt Calista, and nobody will listen. I mean, if you owned a house and somebody had a party there and they burned it down and you didn't have insurance, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So, on that note, I'm encouraging people to vote yes on Stand for Salmon. This ballot that we have November 6th, there'll be politicians at the front, and after the politicians, there's Proposition 1. It's mm-hmm. the Salmon Initiative, and it's trying to strengthen the salmon laws so that people can't build mines on salmon streams. And last weekend, I went down and had a little meeting with the Commissioner of Fish and Game and told him that he just permitted Title 16 permit on two streams up Crooked Creek that are salmon habitat. And I told him, this is the first time in the history of Alaska that you have allowed a mine to build over a salmon stream.
And that's Anaconda Creek and American Creek?
Exactly.
And in that permitting, it acknowledges that those two will no longer be able to support fish.
Right. And
they admit it, so, and they allowed it.
And some people have said, well, there's not a whole lot of salmon up there, but there's whitefish and there's grayling, there's pike, there's stickleback, and it's just the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that is historic about the permitting of this mine, it's the first time the state of Alaska will permit a perpetual water treatment mine, meaning that after the mine closes, the water is so dirty from that mine going into Crooked Creek that it has to be filtered and cleaned in perpetuity, meaning until the end of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside thinking that Donlin, NovaGold, Barrick, this Chinese company, are going to be around 100 years from now with some guys running a water treatment plant, which they say it's going to cost $3.6 million a year to run at today's dollar? So this is a bad deal for all of us. And, you know, and now that the Chinese are in on it, So vote yes on Proposition 1, and we'll make sure this doesn't happen in the future.
All right. Thank you, Grant, for that summary.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay.
So now we're going to go to Ruth in Bethel. Good morning, Ruth. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi. Good morning. What a beautiful day today.
I know.
Yes.
We had the privilege of watching and listening to Eleanor Rowell last night at the Bethel, that's the bowling alley, old bowling alley, now when she multi-purpose room. It's happening again today. She will be performing and talking tonight. They're going to have a potluck at 5:30. ONC is sponsoring it, and if you want to be blessed, you may go watch her. She is very talented and very, you will get to meet her. She travels all over Alaska and parts of the world. So if you would like to join us tonight, bring yourself or your family, and get blessed tonight, and bring a dish. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. Yes.
Thank you, Ruth.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yes.
Okay, so while we have a little bit of time here, I just want to remind everyone that we do have a pledge drive going on, and you're welcome to call 543-3131. You can make a donation, but for this morning, if you make a donation of $5
or more,
well, yeah, but for this, for the prize that we have at the noon raffle is for 20 pounds of Meyer's organic farm produce, potatoes, kale, strawberries, tomatoes, and more. Make a pledge of $5 between now and noon. You can do that at the KYUK.org website, or you can call 543-3131.
Okay.
All right, and we're going to go to another caller, Anonymous. Welcome to Talkline, Anonymous.
Good morning, is that me?
That's you. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Good Friday morning.
I know.
Yes.
I just got a question, or I just need people's point of view or anything about, we're hearing a lot of things about these sexual allegations in Congress, everywhere, especially in Congress, especially today, Kavanaugh, whatever his name is.
Kavanaugh.
Anyway, yes, a lot of people today are like today from this news since last week. They're like, wow, what's going on with our country? Hmm. What is really going on?
What do you think's happening?
I mean, all these happenings since Trump came on.
Oh.
Every day it's like breaking news, especially these sex allegations against these leaders today. Mm-hmm. And my question today, my topic is also the same thing today. And now my question would be within the small communities, like villages today. We heard one in Kotzebue. Remember last, how many years ago was this guy? He was in the Juno lawmaker, whatever his name. I forgot his name. He's from Kotzebue, and he had abused underage girl the previous years, way back. And then he was on this Congress, whatever, Senate in Alaska, for so long until he got caught. But within the small village today, what about these leaders we have today who are sex convicts, who are offenders today? And then there's others, most majority of the seats, like maybe within mine, we may have offenders, but what can we do about these offenders within the villages? Should we just go ahead and expose them and get them out of the office? And my thing is, it's no wonder it's been just corruption. Mm-hmm. I only see corruptive behaviors from these people who've been in on the seats for so long, and they are predators.
What
I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And it's within the small village, people won't say nothing. People will be like, oh, that's a pass. Oh, man, this guy is popular, into politics within the village, but wrong way, wrong way.
Yeah.
And so my question today is like, what can we do about these predators within the... I think we should do something too,
Okay,
that's all I needed to say. Good morning.
I'm glad you called, and it's an important issue. Thank you.
Good.
So, so we have another anonymous caller from Bethel.
Okay.
Good morning, Anonymous. You're on
good
the air.
Good morning. You know what? It hurts to be anonymous, but I want to start feeling, about being hurt and having to leave a child behind because the person don't want to give up the child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and my point is, how do we get the child back without having to they hurt these feelings without or leaving the dad to go to the mom when he wants to be with dad. And mm-hmm. Mom wants him.
Yeah.
Get it? Okay.
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 Well, thank you. That sounds very painful, and mm-hmm. I hope that the caller will reach out to services that can be of help and support to what is happening with her story. And I'm sorry that she's going through that. Okay, so do we have an email? We have, she's pointing to us. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I got an announcement, though, I need to read off.
Gotcha.
I'll just read it off. You know, the Board of Directors of Bethel Broadcasting Incorporated will meet tomorrow on Saturday, October 6th at 9 a.m. at the KYUK Television Studio at 640 Radio Street in Bethel. This is a public meeting. For more information, call Shane at 543-3131.
Oh, okay. So, so that's a board, that the KYUK board meets tomorrow. Anyone mm-hmm. can, it's public, so anyone can come, and I'm sure they would welcome hearing from people, suggestions you have for maybe future shows, shows that you like and want to see continue, shows that you have questions about. I'm sure those things are welcome. You can call 543-3131, and that's also, coincidentally, the same number you can call if you want to make a donation, especially a $5 donation between now and noon, because at noon we're going to be having a raffle, and your $5 donation gets you in, and you can win 20 pounds of organic Myers Farm produce, mm-hmm. and they grow their own strawberries.
Mm, wow.
And because they're very delicious.
Mm.
Yeah, real nice. And there's a ton of them. They really have grown a lot this year.
Wow.
So, so that's great. And you can also call and make a ginormous donation if you'd like. Can do that too.
Mm.
No problem. It's, you know, PFDs have come out. Maybe you have a little extra money in your pocket and you want to donate and support the radio station. Please feel free to do that. So we have another caller from Bethel. Anna. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say I've been attending ABCP meeting, mm-hmm. not all the way, not all day, but like afternoon and couple hours or so I'd stay. And I never see those people that complain about ABCP on Monday mornings. I didn't see none of them, only just a few. I wish they were there attending the ABCP meeting, because they wouldn't complain if they were there, they should have speak their complaint to AVCP members and boards and whatnot instead of being talking behind their back after meeting on Monday or on Friday morning talk show and complain about AVCP.
Mm-hmm.
They should have been there and complain. That's all I needed to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Anna.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had the AVCP convention this week. Yes.
It was. Yeah. Yesterday was their final day.
Yesterday was? Okay.
Yeah, it was a really good turnout. You know, I dropped in on them, and there was a lot of people at the convention, and it was so good to see the representation of all of villages that were there. So, and then there was a lot of great topics that were discussed. So it was a great turnout.
It looked wonderful, and then the board, I guess, wearing the blue Gus Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that looks so sharp.
Yeah.
And they gave out some wonderful awards. Lottie Jones and Esther Green got education awards. Dr. Kalistuk got an award. And I don't know all of them, but it was really nice.
It was great.
Yeah. Okay, we have another caller, Joe Moses. One of our Talkline hosts has called in. Hello, Joe. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I heard Mark Springer earlier talk about KYK has a competition in terms of FM.
Yeah.
First of all, that guy that likes to say whatever is on his mind and speak his mind, it's all good. But, you know, he's not from here. He's not from Bethel. KYK has been part of Bethel and the YK Delta. And we, the people, in terms of making donations, we let KYK know how we feel about him. And if it weren't for KYK, in a lot of circumstances, a lot of the outcome would have been different, but due to the fact that KYK TV and radio is here, they've made a big difference in our community and the community in the YK Delta. So every time you guys have your fundraiser, people go out of their way to make their donations and let KYK know how they feel about their radio. And KYK has always gotten the support from Bethel and the surrounding villages. So, and the people in the villages know how important it is. So, you know, we do our best to support it. And I don't know who this guy think he is when he says Bethel is federally funded. It is to a certain point. But, you know, Bethel speaks its mind, so do the villages, and we all support KYK, and let's continue to support KYK. And if it weren't for you guys, you know, the radio station and the TV, no telling where Bethel and the surrounding villages would be. So, you know, we've got a lot to be thankful for, and
Thank you.
You can tell people, show their support, and we'll always show our support, and, you know, that's how you guys make your money to help run some of the radio programs like Talkline. So, I don't know who this guy think he is. You know, maybe he needs to go back from where he come from, put his head in the ground like a groundhog.
Uh-oh. Okay, so, thank you, Joe.
Know,
all right.
It's one thing to talk about Bethel, but if you're going to offend it, you should go back to where he come from.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. I don't think the person lives here, so, all right. But anyway, so thank you, Joe, for calling. Did we have another caller? Okay, we have a couple of emails that I'm going to go ahead and read. It's teeny tiny font size, so let's see if I can get it. So this is from Richard Robb Jr. Hi, this is Richard Robb Jr. with the Bethel Sportsman's Club. We will be having a work day at the shooting range tomorrow, Saturday, October 6th, from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. All members and anyone interested in the club are encouraged to participate. If anyone has any questions, they can call me at... his number's blanked out. So thank you and have a great weekend. So anyway, Richard Robb Jr. is sponsoring the cleanup at the shooting range tomorrow, 10 to 4. So go on out there. And I think it's great they do some cleanup at the at the sportsman's range because it can get pretty, you know, all the shooting and the shells and the targets. And yeah, so I'm glad they do that. Thank you. The next one, this is anonymous. Question. About the elections, I wonder how many people didn't bother to vote at YP at the Cultural Center because of the AVCP convention and limited parking. Very poor planning. Okay, that's right. People had to go vote and kind of make their way through, so that probably might have been difficult. Here's another anonymous. This question is for Grady. Did you like the results of the Bethel's Got Talent? I understand you put in loads of work for the event, but what was the overall outcome? Would you consider doing it every few months? Now, we're going to go ahead and take a caller, and then Grady will pop in and respond to that email if he'd like. And thank you for your emails. And we're going to go to Kurt. He's with Donlin Gold. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to remind your listening audience that the 11th annual... Bethel Clothing Extravaganza is happening today at 5 o'clock at the ME School.
Okay.
Yep. So people go on down. We've the staff from Anchorage has collected clothing from the schools here in Anchorage and had them all cleaned and sent out to Bethel. So it's usually a pretty good event, and people like it, and so I'm encouraging people to go. Also wanted to just clarify a couple things from a previous caller regarding our project, if I could.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, right. I think Grant called and talked about the perpetual treatment being the first for our project, and Grant knows that that's not correct. He was at a hearing that DEC had in Bethel recently, and he made that claim, and he was corrected by the staff from DEC that, in fact, Donlin would be the third project to get this kind of a permit.
Now, yeah, so were the other two, what are the other two? And were
I know that Red Dog is one of them. I don't know what the other one is, though.
Oh, okay. And did they get those permits for treatment before they started? Was it part of their permitting process, or was it granted after they had begun?
I couldn't answer the question on that. I don't know the process. All I know is that... the DEC has given them those permits. The other thing I wanted to kind of clarify, too, that he had made, just the other point, was And this is kind of confusing for folks, too. And that's the cost for reclamation and the financial assurance issue. So how that works is Donlin is going to put up what the state regulators estimate is a $240 million cost to close the mine. So there will be a bond put up to cover that cost. In addition, we will be setting up an account with $109 million. And it'll be like it's a trust fund. It'll be like kind of the permanent fund,
mm-hmm.
and it will collect interest over time. And so the cost of water treatment over the long haul is estimated to be a little under $4 million. And so where the large amount is that people are quoting, the $1.something billion, is the sort of a cumulative cost of time of that maintenance. And so the $109 million is going to earn interest and spin off enough money to cover the treatment as long as that water treatment is necessary. So it's not a gap in coverage that's going to be falling on Calista or the state, because the money is going to be in the account, and like I said, like a permanent fund that'll be just spinning off this earned income to cover the anticipated cost of the water treatment for as long as that takes.
Okay.
But it's a hard thing even for me sometimes to sort out, you know.
It's very very complicated.
Yeah, and right, and we want to try to simplify it to the extent we can so people can understand it, because we want people to fully understand exactly all the details of the project and how it's moving forward, which is why we're having so many village meetings to explain it.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful to do.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that would be useful, I think, and maybe you can find out about this and you can call back another time,
sure.
and that is about that permitting, because I think, and I could be wrong too, so I'm going to look this up afterwards, but I think that the other two corporations that receive permitting for monitoring in perpetuity, they receive those permits after the fact, after they'd already begun their project. I think the claim here is that Donlin is receiving that kind of permit in advance, and that's the first time a corporation has been allowed to have that before they've even begun, that it's part of the permissions granted. That's where I think it might be. It's like a minor point maybe, but
okay.
I think that's,
I don't know.
So let's look that up, but I think that's the case.
Know. Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know what the distinction is, because the fact is the permit is for the long-term treatment when closure happens. So whether you get it, you know, when the timing of the approval of the permit, I don't know what the difference is on that. So
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So anyway,
you.
Those are just a couple things I just wanted to clarify and just to remind folks to go down to ME. Winter Clothes for the Kids.
Yeah, that's today at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. So now, good. We have Grant calling in, and maybe, Grant, welcome to the show. Maybe you can clarify the claim that Donlin is the first corporation to receive an in perpetuity permission. So, go ahead.
So, unfortunately, Mr. Palkin is totally wrong on that. I gave that testimony in front of DNR when they were here last month, and they corrected me, and they said, oh, no, Mr. Fairbanks, there's two other mines that have in perpetuity water treatment. And I said, no, Mr. DNR, Donlin is the first one to be permitted with in perpetuity water treatment. The two other mines, after they were started, found out that they were going to be in perpetuity water treatment because somebody screwed up. So this is the first one that was purposely permitted in perpetuity, and Mr. Palkin is totally wrong about that. If he would go back and research the record, talk to DNR, and
okay.
So there's always two sides of the story, but if you would talk to DNR, you would find out that this is the first mine.
Yeah, so I think the case is that Donlin and the two other mines are going to require treatment in perpetuity. The other two mines received their permit for that after they'd already been up and running. And Donlin received their permit before they have begun. And that is the first time that the state of Alaska has gone ahead and said, yes, you may do a mine, even a mine that will require monitoring forever. Is that in a nutshell kind of the deal?
That's it. And
okay.
What's interesting, there are other states in the United States that have outlawed in perpetuity because under a lot of these permits, it states that when you're through mining, you must leave the ground in the area exactly like you found it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's impossible to do. In fact, Earth Justice is working on a lawsuit on this because Donlin can't leave the mine like they found it until the end of time because they're going to have a water treatment facility. They're going to have this pit lake. It's not like they can cover it over. And so other states have found that if you're going to mine, when you're done, you need to take all your crap away and clean up the area and reseed it. And so other states are outlawing. And if we had a different legislature, we would try to get a bill passed to outlaw in perpetuity permitting. And
gotcha.
As time goes on, I think the citizens of the state are going to realize that these type of mines are just not what we need. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm not against mining. I'm not against development. And, for instance, Donlin and DNR and the Corps of Engineers led us on to believe that dry stacking would probably be the way to go, and then the Corps of Engineers came out and said, oh, it's never been done in a mine this size, which is BS,
mm-hmm.
and dry stacking would solve a lot of this problem. Dry stacking would make it so that when the mine is over, we wouldn't need to have a pit lake, but that would cost Donlin a few more million dollars, and they don't want to spend that money, and they, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, we had all these alternatives for the EIS, and they were good alternatives. And they were brought up by the people and by scientists, third parties, and every one of them was shot down except the one of Donlin's, which was the North Pipeline North Corridor, which was no big deal. So, you know.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So
Thank
this
you.
Is the first purposely permitted in
right.
perpetuity mine. The other two were screwed up by DNR or the state, whoever permitted it.
Yeah, so that they were after the fact.
And also another thing.
Okay, you have to be
knows.
Quick, Grant.
Okay. So Nova Gold had a mine. Their first mine is Nome, Rock Creek. It was closed down right after startup because of the water quality. They couldn't meet it. So the other partner, the only mine they ever did, was closed down immediately because yeah, so
mm-hmm.
that doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Mm.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you, Grant, for bringing your side again. Okay. So, there we go.
Okay.
So much complication on one feature
yeah.
of a mine. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Grady, did what were you going
to
say?
No, we should invite Grady to...
Yeah, I guess I need to answer some questions, but also aren't I going to fill in for you so you can take the high road and go take care of some business at 11?
Yeah, let's hear you first.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
well,
yeah, we want to hear you.
The caller or the emailer emailed in and said that I have to correct them. They think that I put a lot of work in. And
mm-hmm.
I will tell you the truth, I didn't put much work in at all.
Oh.
The work, the lion's share of the work was done by the staff at the Cultural Center who did the setup for that event. The thing that made Bethel's Got Talent work was the commitment by KYUK to carry the prize if and only if the people who came didn't earn, you know, gather enough prize money. And that's actually what happened, is the people who participated, the people who came to the show made the total prize winnings, or the first prize, was $500 and something. And so that was all garnered from the participants and the people who came. So the lion's share of the work went to the people who showed up, and the overall outcome was good. And
mm-hmm.
In answer to the last question, would I consider doing it every few months? Well, it's not really up to me, is it?
Mm-hmm.
But if I can get enough volunteers who are interested in putting a cohort together, I can envision us trying to get a lip sync contest and some other open
uh-huh.
mic type stuff.
Wow.
So to do that, if you'd like to volunteer, send me an email, grady@kyuk.org, and say, I want to volunteer for Bethel Live.
Okay, mm-hmm. great. That'd be, those are really fun shows.
So,
Peter, you're going off to record some UPIC news.
Some news,
All right.
So I'll
thank
have
you.
To leave now, and, you know, thank you very much for...
I'll see you next week.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
yes,
definitely.
Not willing.
Okay.
You too, Grady.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing you in a few minutes in this rest of the studio.
Okay, so I can't... is Grant back on? Oh, okay. Sorry.
You know, with him segueing and with him going off to do the recording of the UPIC News, it reminds me of all the many awesome features of KYUK.
Yeah.
And I know we're in fundraising drive, so I'm kind of in this pitch mode. But
yeah.
I was really proud, and I think I've said this on the air already, I was proud to tell my mother that we were one of the first stations in the country to be native-owned.
Yeah.
And to produce local indigenous programming in both languages, in English and UK.
Yeah. Oh, that's really powerful, and that's true. And I want to say that also our lines are open, so feel free to call in. The numbers are 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call from anywhere in the United in North America, 1-800-995-8954. And you can also email us at radio@kyuk.org. We will read your email over the air. You can be anonymous. And we have a caller, Alyssa from Bethel. Good morning, Alyssa. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, Diane.
Good
Thank
morning.
You so much for this wonderful morning.
Awesome. I know. It's beautiful.
It is gorgeous.
I know.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. And I wanted to give you an update for the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge.
Okay.
We want to say
you.
Congratulations to you, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Bethel Coloring Contest winners, Miss Olivia Oney, Hayden Martin, and Misha Woods, and Maylene Odenzoff. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service would like to also extend an invite to the Meet and Greet Barbecue on October 17th, 2018 at 12 p.m. during the International Wildlife Refuge Week. Come and meet our refuge staff, grab some lunch, and enjoy our visiting center. We'd also like to extend thank you to Ms. Molarchik's class for having a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service discussion on tundra biomes, and Ms. Coggins' class for having U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to discuss dissolved oxygen in relation to salmon, particularly salmon eggs and embryos at the beginning stage of incubation.
Awesome.
We'd also like to thank Bethel Girl Scouts for posting a Plants and Rock Field Day, and the Boy Scouts for hosting a Nature Walk Field Day. And that would be the rest of my bulletins for you, Diane.
Well, that's great. Oh, you guys are doing some really nice things with young people. And
thank
I think
you.
It's great for them to get introduced to biology and the world around them and to know some of the details like eggs and how they hatch and all that stuff in our rivers and streams. So thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Have a great day, you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
I'm really looking forward to that barbecue.
Oh, the barbecue. Yes, the barbecue is going to be October 17th at noon. You can come in, meet the staff at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta Refuge Center, and you can, I think they have some displays there, and they'll probably have some other kinds of things that are going to be fun. So October 17th at noon. When is that? That's next Wednesday. That's a Wednesday, I think. Yeah. Week and a half. Okay, so I have a couple of other announcements. UTE is offering a certificate in residential construction and fixtures maintenance. The first class will begin on October 16th. All applicants must have either a high school diploma or a GED. To apply for the program, contact AVCP at 543-7300. Now that's a great skill, construction and residential construction. Yeah, and fixtures maintenance. Really good skills to have. So you can sign up for that through AVCP at 543-7300. Yeah.
I know that you and I are both in the folds of the university, but trades are very important skills and also lucrative things to get into.
Yeah.
All of my friends that are in the electrician and the construction trades back home, they have boats, they have vans. I mean, they got everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's me, I'm struggling.
There's a lot. Is it that you have no skills? No, I'm kidding. Of course you do. Okay, we have a caller that's just referred to as caller. So, good morning, caller. Welcome to Talkline. You're on the air. Okay. Caller, there's not a caller.
Okay, well, speaking of callers, last week we had Cesari call from Poland.
Cesare called Talkline from Poland, and I wasn't here? That is not right.
And I don't know if you met Zhao, but she called from Singapore. So we had...
Oh, no, international callers. Oh, that is so awesome. Okay, we have the caller is on now. So, good morning, caller. Welcome to Talkline. You're on the air.
Hello there, Bethel.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a question on the NFL. I have heard of a Seattle Seahawks team belongs to Alaska. Is that right?
Oh, I don't know who owns the Seattle Seahawks. I know a lot. It's a popular team here in Alaska, but I don't know.
Yeah, when I was in Kodiak, their local radio at every game, they broadcast it locally with two broadcasters like the two of you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it's because it's a very popular team. Maybe because it's the closest NFL team we have is in Washington State. So it's, so people like that one.
You know what? I was definitely the same like Kodiak, broadcast Seahawks.
Oh, okay. I think Paul Allen owns the Seahawks. I don't know where Paul Allen is from, but he owns the Seahawks.
Yeah. Another subject here, over the past year, some of the zoos have closed, maybe something like in out of America, like probably Mexico, due to the shortage of food to keep up with feeding their animals in the zoo. Huh. And just recently, believe it or not, one of the zoo is putting fake animals, and they're saying that due to the declining numbers of sea life.
Oh. Mm. Okay.
In the early stages of Fukushima, the experts were saying next generations will be seeing sea life only by photo, which had existed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, that made me remind me of this Fukushima update saying early stages when I saw that zoos were putting fake animals now. And I guess that's it. Thank you. Good morning.
All right. Thank you for calling. Okay. So from Seahawks to maybe extinction of sea animals. We're kind of, okay, we went a couple different directions there. So we have another caller, John from EEK. Good morning, John.
Yes, good morning. This is John Carter. I'm calling from EEK, Alaska.
Hello, John.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to talk about something, a subject on Donlan. What the last caller talked about, what Telstra owns.
Okay.
Whether Telstra owns the subsurface rights. Two questions there. The landowner, the owner of the, owns the surface rights, and the federal government, the other subsurface. My question, within Telstra, within its corporation, such as Telstra, does that corporation own the subsurface rights too? I remember the Turtle Bay, although extracted from underneath the ground, certain percentage goes to the state of Alaska, and I think maybe 18%, and it goes, and the other goes somewhere else. I imagine a certain percentage would also go to Telstra, also from Donlan.
Mm-hmm.
But your last caller, who spoke about Donlan, after it is closed, after the mine is closed, all done with, the filters will be placed due to release of the water, maybe to the rivers. Who's going to pay for that? Will Jalista do it or the communities around it? That is my question. Thank you, Roman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Jalista leaves a certain amount of money for mitigation for the cleanup with the state of Alaska. Jalista estimates that that amount would need to be around $1.4 billion. But they're only going to put in $300 million, and the state has agreed to that. And that's in a bond, the form of a bond. And the responsibility for what gets left behind will fall upon the state. So anyway, that's got different complications to it, but that's in a nutshell that part. But it may also fall upon Jalista because they... Jalista owns the subsurface and Kuskokwim Corporation owns the surface land. So, I don't know any more details than that. So, We have another caller, Robert from Bethel. Good morning, Robert. Welcome to Talk Line.
Yeah, good morning. I was going to go anonymous, but since everybody knows who I am, I have a problem here. I mean, I'm just the last week talk show I discussed the reasoning for the vote on liquor, and I feel that this week after the vote and noticing that there wasn't as many voters as intended to be, for the reason being that the people that don't drink and that don't want liquor in here didn't have a fair chance to go and vote for their side of dry. And that's probably the reason why I stated that you might not have very many voters, even though the cab companies volunteered to take you to the voting polls.
Mm-hmm.
The people that didn't, that don't drink and wanted to dry, were cheated out on this vote because there was nothing for them to vote on. And that's probably one of the reasons why they didn't go vote like myself. There was no reason for me to go vote. It was damp or wet. I don't want damp or wet. And me and many, many others don't want this town dry because of the harm and the hurt that we've all gone through for years watching liquor every time it appears in our town. You know, it was simpler just to pick up the bootleggers. It was a lot simpler and more work for the law enforcement just to go pick up the bootleggers rather than see the whole region affected by wetness of this community voting wet or damp. There was no reason for the people, non-drinkers, to go and vote. And I feel that they were cheated out on this privilege to vote for their wishes. Hey, that's all I had to say. No offense. Bye now.
Okay, thank you.
But ballot questions are posed by citizens, right? I mean, so a citizen puts forth a ballot question by getting signatures, so
yeah,
the options that we had were a result of a citizen putting it forth.
That was the petition.
Mm-hmm.
And people can create, do another petition drive for a year from now, the elections, and then they can have another petition on there to change, go to local.
Or go dry.
Yeah, go to local option, go dry. Yeah, so anyway, that's... That is that. So next we have Renee. Welcome to Talk Line, Renee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling because we have the Bethel Council on the Arts has a concert coming up, the first one of the season, and I want to make sure that everybody knows about it. This particular concert is Kat Moore, and she plays with Super saturated sugar strings. Try to say that one fast.
Oh, super saturated sugar strings.
Yeah,
okay.
they play around Anchorage and the road system down in Juneau. And Chris Lesson, who plays with the Dirty Hands, again, Anchorage folks that are going to be coming out. And Ben Balavay is going to be their opening act. So he's going to come back and be opening for this. And I got to tell you, it wouldn't be possible to do this without our number one or number three special sponsors, Feely's Restaurant. And they're going to have this wonderful meet and greet with the band Friday night prior to the concert on Saturday night. That's October 18th, Friday night at Feely's, a little get to know the musicians. And then the big concert will be on the 19th. At the Cultural Center. So and we're also going to have them go into the schools, play a little music for them, try to, you know, live music is so much more invigorating and interesting than just listening to it on a CD.
Preaching to the choir. Renee, it begs a question. What's the cost for the tickets for the Friday night, the 19th?
The Friday night at Feely's?
No, I'm sorry, the actual concert.
Oh, the concert is that if you want a premium seat, what you know, that's the couches and the comfy chairs, that's $25. If you're regular seating, that's $20. If you're a student, and that's from KUC students on down, it's $10.
And if this is the first event of the season, what if I want to be a season ticket holder? Can I do that?
Oh.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can do that. We will have season tickets on sale at the concert. We're still developing that. And I'm glad you brought that up. Let me mention who else we've got coming. On December 6th, we've got Dorina Harvey Band, and they're from Newfoundland. And they're what I call a hot Celtic rock band.
Okay.
I've heard them twice. They rock the house. They're really, really good. There's five of them. They'll be coming out on the 6th. And that's got special sponsors, too. Oh, did I mention all the sponsors besides Feely's? Let me just get this out because it's important to us. Casey's Carpet and Sorg's Floors are the co-sponsors with Feely's for the Cat Moore and Chris Lesson concert. For our Dorina Harvey, we've got Myers Farm. They've jumped right in there. And Faulkner Walsh and Top Fuel are our sponsors. So they're supporting the arts, and we hope everybody in town will.
Okay. We have a lot of, we've got some calls and emails coming in.
I'll be really fast. December 6th. And then in April, because of such a hit from last year with the piano and cello, we're going to have the Rice Brothers come. They're not twins, but they're close in age and they look alike. I saw them too.
Okay,
they're
April.
April 23rd.
Yeah, so, you can make those announcements in February.
I just wanted you to know what the season was.
I know. Okay.
Point is, get your season tickets because they have value. That's the deal.
Yeah, season tickets. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Renee. So we're going to go to Anonymous from Bethel, and then I have an email I'm going to read. So Anonymous from Bethel, you're on the air.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I was gone from Bethel from the 1st until yesterday, so like I'm totally lost about what's going on in Bethel.
Okay.
I was wondering who I won the city council election.
Okay. I don't have the names off the top of my head, so but you can go to the KYUK.org website. And but after you leave the call, we'll find out who they were. There's four of them, and we will announce their names.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
And also, I wanted to point something out about alcohol and drug addiction treatment. The alcohol and drug addiction have not worked. Within not just within the region, but throughout the state, and that I was like really surprised when my recent escort was 17 years old, and I was told by her close family members that she doesn't do alcohol, she doesn't do drugs. But God, she was on alcohol the whole entire time. And that's sad because, like, 17 years old, for her, I would think she did a long period of treatment. And then here again, I'm pointing out that prevention and early treatment are what work.
Yes.
And I appreciate everybody's work, like you, Peters, and tell Grady I'm volunteering.
Okay. I will tell him.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Anonymous. Have a great day. All right. So next we're going to go to an email that I'm going to read. This is from Hooper Bay, Minnie Simon, and she writes, "Shout out to everyone making progress that no one recognizes because you never let anyone see your darkest moments. You've been silently winning battles and transforming yourself. Be proud of every step you're making in the right direction. Keep going because you got this. Have a nice day. Well, that's beautiful. Thank you, Minnie, for sending that beautiful thought. So just a reminder, we've just got a few more minutes left of talk line. The lines are open, or I don't know, they're giving me... I can't tell if they're open or not. But anyway, the lines, I think they're open, but it is the pledge drive. For $5, you can put your name in for a prize drawing of 20 pounds of Myers Farm produce. You can call 543-3131. And well, I think we have time for another call if you have one there. Is there another call? Oh, I just got asked if they could take calls. Yes. Another announcement here, we have a ballroom dance class for beginners. Starts this Sunday, October 7th at 4:30 at the YKHC Elders Home off Chief Eddie Hoffman Highway behind Prematernal Home. Proceeds to benefit Tundra Women's Coalition. For more information, call 545-4699, and that's for the ballroom dance class. Now, that's a really fun class. So if you're interested in doing that, and it's nice that they do it at the elders' home, so maybe some of the elders get to either learn a few dance steps or get to watch the class as it's happening. And this is a fundraiser for Tundra Women's Coalition. So call 545-4699. So we have another anonymous call, and this will be our last call. So anonymous, welcome to Talkline. You're on the air.
There are more Green Bay Packer fans in Bethel than Uh-oh. There are Seahawks fans, so goodbye.
Oh, well, okay. So there we go. We've had a throwdown. Packers versus Seahawks. All right.
Yeah, speaking of throwdowns.
Oh, your microphone's not? Oh, now it is.
Yeah, speaking of throwdowns, Beverly Hoffman would like to challenge all the folks that call into Talkline and anyone who loves the KYUK's broadcasting of basketball to call in and make a pledge of $25 or more.
Oh, okay, good. So do that.
I have more challenges. I don't know.
Let's have some challenges.
All right.
Yeah.
Irma Goodwin wants to challenge all AVCP employees to support KYUK. Mary Yvonne wants to challenge all her children.
I hope she has lots of children.
To pledge $25 or more. Henry, do you know how to pronounce Henry's last name?
Okay.
Third one down there.
Henry Tikkun Sr. wants to challenge all the bingo players of $50 or more. Now, bingo players, come on now. Act like your donation is like buying bingo cards.
Except
okay.
for you know you win.
Because because you know what you win? KYUK. You win the whole radio station and everything that happens here. So the joy that you feel when you buy those bingo cards, just transfer it over to KYUK and make a donation. And do we have some more challenges on there?
Yeah, Janessa, who is on Coffee Talk this morning, Coffee at KYUK. Janessa Escobel and Janelle Carl would like to challenge all of the ONC employees to make a $20 or more donation to KYUK.
Well, I might as well make a little challenge to my colleagues over at Kuskokwim campus. Put in a little bit of a donation. I won't give a sum, but
no,
anything.
You're a supporter of NPR, aren't you?
NPR
or KYUK
yes.
specifically?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think that initiate a challenge, you should at least be
a donator. Oh, yeah.
I'm not challenging anyone because I haven't yet made my pledge.
So
I'm holding my punch.
Now, what is the theme, Grady?
Well, that's the thing, is that after we get off the show, we're going to have to do some training. So that I don't know the number for that song, our general talk line theme. So I think that maybe
the theme.
Yeah, when we leave the show today, we might have to just go into music.
Oh,
does that bother you?
Any kind of music, yeah. The theme is Express Yourself.
Express Yourself.
Yeah, that's the theme.
That's the title.
But it's okay. So we can just drift into whatever. So that's we're going to close up the show. Thank you, everyone who called. We had lots of calls, and we appreciate all of you. And continue to listen in next Friday on Talkline. Have a great weekend. It's beautiful today here in Bethel. Oh, I like that. Okay. Yeah.
I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it gets funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat, and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well, I'm dropping English, even if yella.